We're holding on Sadiq Aleph on the Bay's 10 lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about the case where a person donates wine as a korban. We said there's a machlokas whether a person can donate oil as a korban, but everybody agrees that a person can donate wine by itself as a korban. So yesterday we had learned that Rabbi Akiva had said that it would do that according to Rabbi Akiva, it would go into the basins on top of the Mizbeach, and then it would drain down through there into the Shisim. Now, the Gemara brings a different opinion. Amar Shmuel, a misnad of yain, a person donates wine as a korban, mevio mezalfei al gabei ha'ishim. Then he takes it and sprinkles it on the fire of the Mizbeach. My timer, why? Amar Krov, yain takrav ha'nesach ha'tziyahin, because the Pasuk says, in the case of nesochim that come with a korban, the pasuk says wine in the case of a bull where it's a half a hin. So the pasuk says with wine you should offer for nesach, for a libation, a half a hin ishe reyach michoyach Hashem, as a fire offering of a pleasant fragrance for Hashem. So ishe means that it gets poured on the fire. Now the point is though that it can't mean the nisachim that come together with a korban, because then the pasuk says haseich. Then we have by the korban tamid it says haseich nesach sheicho, you should pour libation of intoxicating wine. So therefore, if here you have a pasuk that says the yayin and it says ishe reach nechayach Hashem, then it must be talking about wine that's being brought as a korban by itself. Meanwhile, when we said before that according to Rabbi Akiva, it would be poured into the basins. So that opinion would just say that ishe reyach nisayach Hashem just means that Hashem gets pleasure from the fact that he tells us to do a mitzvah and we do it. So according to that, then the word isha wouldn't mean that you burn it on the mizbeach, but according to Shmuel, it does. So the question is, when he's pouring wine on the fire of the Mizbeach, isn't he putting out some of the fire? And you're not allowed to. So the answer is kibui mimitzas lo shmei kibui. You could answer that putting out part of the fire is not considered putting out. There is a mitzvah in the Torah not to put out the fire of the Mizbeach. Each tumid took out on Mizbeach lo sirve. But you can say that means if you put out the entire fire, not like this where you just pour the wine on part of it and some of it goes out. No, the Gemara says that doesn't work. Is that so? If a person takes a coal off the Mizbeach, burning coal off the Mizbeach, Rikiba, and he extinguishes it, Chayev, then he's Chayev for extinguishing fire from the Mizbeach. Tosfos points out that we learned in the previous perek, we said that if a coal falls off the Mizbeach and jumps off the Shapaka, where we said over there there's a little moisture in it, and that causes it to jump off, then you don't have to put it back. So the line of review would be, so now, in other words, the mitzvah has already been accomplished, and if the mitzvah has already been accomplished, then there shouldn't be any iser in putting it out. So Tosfos says there may be a difference between taking it off and it falling off. If it falls off, we can say the mitzvah has already been accomplished, but if he takes it off while it's still live coal, the mitzvah has not been completed yet, he's supposed to put it back, and therefore if he instead he puts it out, then he's over. So we see that putting out part of the fire is also an issue. So then we're back to the question, how can he be pouring the wine on the fire and putting out the fire? So the Gemara answer is because you could answer deleka elahai. You could answer that the case that he's talking about, where he's chayav for putting out a coal, is where there's no other coal. There only happens to be right now on the Mizbeach one live coal, and he takes it and puts it out. Well, then that is the entire fire, but not necessarily would that mean. That's brought from Revelable Brister, that it means that maybe when he took the coal off, there was still other fire, but then by the time he put it out, in between the other fire on the Mizbeach went out. So you could say that then he's chayav because that's the only fire from the Mizbeach left. But not necessarily. Would that show that if there were many other live coals over there and a lot of other fire and he put out one coal, not necessarily is he chayav for that. Another answer, you could say, kibur de mitzvah shiny, it's different when the putting out is being done for a mitzvah. Namely, according to Shmuel, there is a mitzvah to pour the wine onto the fire, so therefore we don't care in that case if that causes some of the fire to be put out, because that's how the mitzvah goes. Okay. So the Gemara says, Toshma, well, I'll prove to you that not so, that even putting out the fire for the sake of a mitzvah is osur. The Tana of Eliezer ben Yaakov, Klapesh Nosna Torah Litzrayim. Now, let's consider, the Torah gives us a mitzvah to do Truma Sadeshin. You have to, as we've learned before, the Kohen takes one pan full of ashes off the Mizbeach and places it on the floor near the Mizbeach, or somewhere else on the Mizbeach. Now, says Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Yofo Yichbev Yitzrayim. So you would think, maybe it means that even if you find live coals over there, you should put them out and then take Truma Sadeshin from them. Or what about if you don't find any? What if you find that all the coals are burning and none of them are out? Maybe you should put some of them out in order to accomplish the mitzvah. Amarta lo yichabeh, and he's saying, nevertheless, you should not, because the Chazak says, lo yisichbeh, do not put it out. So therefore, so we see that even for mitzvah of Truma Sadeshin is not a valid reason to put out some of the coals. And the answer is Shani Hossam Epshe B'Yosef V'Notar. The difference is over there that he could wait around until some of them go out. He doesn't have to go do it via Dayim because eventually they're going to go out anyway and he could just wait until then. So if he doesn't, then we can say he's over on an Issun. But here, where there's no way at any time when you pour that wine, there's always going to be fire over there. So you have to pour it on the fire, according to Shmuel. So therefore, there's no choice in the matter, and therefore he should be allowed to, and it shouldn't be considered an issur of putting out the fire. Okay. So the Gemara says, Toshma, well, let's bring a proof. We learned earlier on the Omer, Yayin Kedivrei Rabbi Akiva L'Sfonin, that wine which is brought by itself as a korban, according to Rabbi Akiva, goes into the basins. Shemen Kedivrei Rabbi Tarfon, and oil which is brought by itself, specifically according to Rabbi Tarfon. We said that when we said wine according to Rabbi Akiva, we don't mean that the Chachamim disagree and say that you can't bring wine. It just means that it just means Rabbi Akiva is the one who explicitly says in Menachos that you can donate wine as a korban and not oil, and therefore the Gemara attributes the fact that you can donate wine to him, even though all the other Chachamim do agree with that. He's only disagreeing on the point about the oil. Anyway, Shemen Kedivrei Rabbi Tarfon, when it comes to oil, then La'ishin, then that gets poured on the fire. So we see the Braisa is saying you don't pour the wine on the fire. And Shmuel, being an Amora, can't disagree with Rabbi Akiva Atana. So that's one. Va'oid, and furthermore, Tanya, we learn in another Braisa, Yayin Nesach Lasfalim, the wine that is to be poured as the libration. Interesting, usually we think of Yayin Nesach as being something completely different, but here it means the wine that is poured as a libation to Hashem, as opposed to the other kind of Yayin Nesach. Lasfalim, that one goes into the basin. Oy, Eina Elo L'ishim, maybe not, maybe it goes into the fire, based on the pasuk that Shmuel had quoted before. Amarta, and you answer, Lo Yechabeh, no, because you can't put out the fire. So we see, first of all, that you can't put out even some of the fire. We see you can't even do it for the sake of the mitzvah. And we see that, in fact, the wine has to be poured into the basin. So where is Shmuel getting that it should be poured on the fire? The answer is, Loikasha, Horeb Yehuda, Horeb Shimon. The answer is, the brises that we're quoting are according to Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel is going like Rabbi Shimon. Namely, you have a machlokas in particular in connection with Hilchos Shabbos called Dover She'enim Eskaben. If you do something and accidentally something else gets done, which is a malacha, is that also or not? Classic example of it is dragging a bench. So you're allowed, Rabbi Shimon says, you're allowed to drag a bench along a dirt floor, even though there's a possibility that some of the dirt may be dug up, because it's not inevitable, and you're not meaning to dig up the dirt. It's called Dover She'enim Eskaben, and Rabbi Shimon holds its mutter, Rabbi Yehuda holds its osur. It comes up in Hilchos Shabbos, but here we're mentioning it in connection with the halachos of korbanos. It comes up in other contexts as well. Tosfos mentions it in connection with the din of Kelayim. So therefore, the Braises are going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Dover She'enim Eskaben also. So even though he's not meaning to put out the fire of the Mizbeach, nevertheless, he might, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says that's reason enough for it to be awesome. As opposed to Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, Dover She'enim Eskaben is mutter. You don't mean to put out the fire. So then, in that case, then there's not a problem. Now, Rashi says, wait a minute, what do you mean? You're not meaning to. It's psik resha. Isn't it inevitable you pour wine on fire, it's going to go out. So Rashi gives an example. Rashi gives an explanation because it's not necessarily psik resha. You could disperse it as very fine drops. You could pour it as very fine drops, which are not in fact going to put out the fire. And therefore, even if you didn't end up doing it, even if you did end up doing that, even if you did end up doing it in, as larger drops accidentally, then it's a double shame of a scaven, and therefore it's mutter and it's not a problem. That's a pointer Rashi. Tosfos, the Bar Tanura explains in a similar vein. He says that the fire on the Mizeach is big and strong enough that you may even, it doesn't necessarily have to be tiny drops, like Rashi says, even larger drops might do. On the other hand, now you have like this, there's an interesting point. The Oruch brings a famous opinion about psikresha. The Oruch holds of something called psikresha deloy nichale. You can have a case of psikresha, something you're doing A and B is inevitably going to happen. We know it's an established halacha that kind of thing is awesome. However, the Oruch has a chiddush that if result B is not something that you wanted and not something that you're pleased with, then it's not considered psikresha. And one of his proofs is from Or Gemara over here, because he doesn't learn like Rashi that it means that you dafka have to do it in tiny drops. It could even be that he's doing a regular libation, a regular pouring, but it's loy nichale. He doesn't want the fire to go out, and therefore that's not considered psikresha. Tosfos elsewhere disagrees with the Oruch on that, and in fact the Rishonim have quite a bit of discussion about that point of the Oruch of Psikureisha Delay Nichalei, whether we accept it and when we accept it. Tosfos elsewhere points out, first of all, like Rashi, like we're saying, that you could do it in tiny drops, and second of all, you could have, let's say, that he could be pouring the wine on top of the limbs of Korbanos that are right now on the Mizbeach, where right now there's no fire over there. So now, you're not extinguishing any fire because you're putting it on a limb. You're putting it on top of a limb, which is on top of the fire. So even if it happens that it puts out a little bit of a fire, then it's not such a problem. But the Braises don't hold like that. They hold specifically like Rabbi Yehuda that Gavah Shein Meskaven is also, and therefore they say you can't even take the chance. No small drops. No pouring on limbs. No nothing. You have to pour it. Yeah. You have to pour the wine into the basin. Well, the Gemara asks the member of the Shmuel Kerev Shimon Sfirulei. So you're telling me that Shmuel holds like Rav Shimon as far as Dover Shein Meskaven. But Shmuel says a different din in Hilchas Shabbos. Mechaben gachelas shomachas b'shus arabim. If there was a metal coal, a hot piece of metal in b'shus arabim, then Shmuel says you wouldn't be allowed to put it out on Shabbos when it's in the suite. B'shushala yizoyku bo rabim, so that the rabim don't get damaged or harmed by it. If you leave this live, you leave this hot piece of metal, this red hot piece of metal in the suite, people may get injured by it. So Shmuel says you're allowed to do that. And Nachmina nowadays would be, let's say, for example, there are electrical wires down. Where according to Shmuel, then you would be allowed to disconnect the electricity so people don't get electrocuted by it. Now the reason for that is because a hot piece of metal, putting it out on Shabbos is not considered kibui, is not considered extinguishing on a daraisa level. On a daraisa level, extinguishing is where the result is charcoal. When you have a hot, glowing piece of metal and you put it out, you don't get charcoal from it. You just have a hot piece of metal. You just have now a colder piece of metal. So it's not also daraisa. And Shmuel says, therefore, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. The same chachamim who said that it's normally osur would say in this case that it's mutter in order that the rabbim shouldn't be harmed. Ava lo gachela soet. But Shmuel says that would not be the case if it was a wood coal, even if it is causing danger to the public, because there you're talking an isur daraisa. Now, Rashi explains like this. When according to Reb Shimon, we were just talking about the concept of Dover Shein Meskaven, where you're doing one malacha and accidentally a different thing, you're doing one thing and accidentally a malacha gets accomplished. For example, you pour, in our case over here, you're pouring wine on the Mizeach and accidentally a little of the fire gets extinguished. But now you have a different din that Rav Shimon also holds, which is malacha she'enet tzricha legufa. When you're doing a malacha, not for the sake of the way the malacha was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, the reason why they put out, then the reason why they would extinguish fires is in order to make charcoal, because they needed charcoal in order to smelt the metals. So Rav Shimon would hold, if you're putting out a fire for any other reason, then it's also only drabana. Well, here he's not putting out the fire in order to have charcoal. In fact, Rashi says, halavai shaloi ba'olav. He would prefer that coal wasn't there in the first place, and then he didn't have to deal with it. So now, Rashi compares it to, for example, Reb Shimon holds that if a person died on Shabbos and you carry out the body on Shabbos, Reb Shimon would say he's potter because Malacha Shein and Tzuricha LeGufa. Well then, the Gemara is assuming that these two things are basically the same thing. Dovah She'en Meskaven and Malacha Shein and Tzuricha LeGufa, the Gemara is assuming are the same thing. Tosfos discusses why would we assume that it is the same thing. But that's the Gemara assumes that Shmuel would, that just like Shmuel is saying it's chayav and malacha she'en tzricha legufa, and that is why he's saying you're not allowed to put out the wooden coal on Shabbos, even though rabbim are going to get harmed by it, because even though it's malacha she'en tzricha legufa, nevertheless it isn't malacha daraisa. You would think therefore Tosfos says that he would also hold that davar she'en meskaven is also also. So then in that case, how can he be learning like Reb Shimon and say that Dovah Shein Meskaven is fine and therefore that you can put out and therefore that you can pour the wine on the fire of the Mizbeach and not worry, as long as it's not Psikoresha, or according to the Aruch, as long as it's not Psikoresha, the Nichalei, then it should be allowed. So that's the question. If you say that if you're going to think that Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon, then you should even be allowing in the case of a wooden coal because of Malacha Shein, it's Tzricha LeGufa, and the Chachamim should allow it in order for the Rabbim not to be harmed. So the answer is no. There is in fact a difference. The Dovah Shein Meskaven Sava Lach Reb Shimon. When it comes to Dovah Shein Meskaven, Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon that it is mutter. So therefore with Dovah Shein Meskaven, he will allow the wine to be poured onto the fire, even though there's a possibility that it means that some of the fire is going to be put out. But Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa Sava Lach Reb Yehuda. But when it comes to Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa, he holds like Reb Yehuda, and therefore, never mind the fact that he's not putting out the wooden coal in order to get charcoal. He's putting it out in order that the rabbim shouldn't get harmed. Shmuel would say that doesn't matter, and it's still chayev, and therefore it's something that the Chachamim cannot allow him to do on Shabbos. Tosfos brings in this connection of something that Shmuel himself says that there are a couple of cases among one of them being where a person traps a dangerous snake on Shabbos. You have a snake which is potentially harmful to people, but Shmuel says you're allowed to trap it on Shabbos. Now that's an example of Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa, because you're not the trapping in the Mishkan was because they needed the actual animals themselves. They needed the skins, they needed the hair, whatever. Whereas over here, he's doing it in order to avoid danger. So it's an example of Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa, and Shmuel does allow it. So you see that Shmuel does allow Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa. How can the Gemara say here that not? So Tosfos brings that the halachas gerlus from Rabbi Hudori Goin makes a doichet on it, and says that maybe where it's a matter of tsar of the guf, then it would be allowed, even though he holds Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa, but he would say that where Tzorchei Rabim or tremendous pain or whatever is involved, as there might be from the snake, we're not even talking about the snake is necessarily going to kill people, but just that it would cause a painful bite, then maybe that kind of thing would be allowed. Tosfos says that's a forced explanation, it's a dirfit, and rather Tosfos says, first of all, Tam says that maybe Shmuel himself doesn't actually hold its mutter, he's just explaining a Mishnah that says so, but he himself would hold according to the opinions that says that it's also. Ultimately, the Rambam, and from there in Shulchan Aruch, it says the halacha is indeed paskin. Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa is chayev. So a person is chayev when he does a malacha, not just when he does it for the purpose for which it was being done in the Mishkan, but for any other purpose, he's still chayev. However, he also says that you're allowed to trap the snake. And the answer would be basic. So either the answer would be similar to the Bahag, that it would be allowed when there's Hezek Gadol or something like that, or a different answer. The Aruch HaShulchan gives an answer that at least it has to be malacha, in order for it to be considered malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa, it has to be you're doing the same kind of malacha, you're just doing it for a different purpose. So when you're trapping the snake in order to get rid of it, then that wouldn't be considered included in the malacha, and then because it's being done for the opposite purpose, you're not doing it to take or to kill the animal at all, just to get rid of it, and therefore that might be a reason that it's mutter. So lemaisa, what you have is when it comes to Dovah Shein Meskaven is mutter. So for example, you would be allowed to drag a bench on a dirt floor, as long as it's not a heavy bench and it's not inevitable, it will drag up the floor, that it will dig up the floor. On the other hand, melacha she'ein etzricha legufa is chayev. You're chayev, for example, for putting out a candle on Shabbos, where a person is chayev, for putting out a candle on Shabbos, whether he does it in order to be able to light the candle again later, which would be more like the reason they did it in the Mishkan, or for any other reason. However, there are certain exceptions, one of them being as far as this matter of trapping a snake and a couple of other examples that Tosfos brings, also opening up a blister in order to drain out the pus, and some other examples where such things are mutter on one grounds or another. Okay. Getting back to the Gemara, continuing on the matter of Nesachim, Nesachim Shenitmu, if the Nesachim became Tomei, so now again, we're not talking about the Nesachim that are being brought together with a Korban, or maybe we are, we can be talking about any Nesachim, but primarily we're talking about the wine, that becomes Tomei, so you can't put it on the Mizbeach. What do? You make a separate pile of wood for them, Rashi says, on the floor of the Azar of a Seraphon, and you burn them over there. That way the burning of them is noticeable. So Rashi wonders why. Why shouldn't you burn them in the Beis HaDeshen, where all of the Psulim of Kodshim are burned? And the reason is, Rashi says, because it's something moist, because it's something wet, you want the burning of it to be noticeable by itself. So if you were to burn it together with other meat, then it has no real mamasha, so you wouldn't notice it. Here, you want it to be noticeable, so therefore they make a separate pile for it. The Rambam actually learns differently, and the Rambam learns that the Oysalem Marocha B'fnei Atzman does mean to make a pile of wood for them, but not on the floor, as Rashi says, but rather on the Mizbeach. So according to him, they can be put on the Mizbeach just for the purpose of burning them, wine of Nesachim should be poured into the basins. In the end, the Halacha is not like Shmuel, that we pour it on the fire. But if it becomes tamei, then we do in fact make a separate pile of wood, the Rambam learns, on the Mizbeach, and then we burn it over there. Because the pasuk says, "Bakodesh ba'ish tisaref," the pasuk says that in the holy place it will be burnt in fire. So we learn from that that any kodshim that we learn now that the context of the pasuk is talking about a chatas where the blood was brought into the heichal, where we've discussed before in our masechta that then that chatas becomes also to eat and you have to burn it. But because it says "Bakodesh ba'ish tisaref," we learn from that that all kodshim that became posel, which was supposed to remain in the azara, they should be burnt in the azara. So here they have to be burnt in the azara. Bakodesh in the holy place, but Ishti Sardis, they have to be burnt. But again, according to Rashi, you make a separate wood pile for them on the floor, and according to the Rambam, you burn them on the Mizbeach, but also on a separate pile. The Gemara says, Tanya Namihoch, we learn similarly in Ebraisa, Hadam, the blood of Korbanus, Vahashemen, and oil, Vahamenochus, and Menochus. Rashi takes out the word Menochus, because the Shittim Kubetis understands Rashi to be saying that the word Menachos doesn't belong, because if Rashi is saying the reason is because they're liquids and they wouldn't be noticeable when you burn them, a mincha is not a liquid, a mincha is made of flour, so there's no reason that it shouldn't be able to be burnt together with it, that it shouldn't be able to be burnt together with the other psulei kodshin. So blood and oil then. Shittu Kubetzes brings a different girsa, Hashulchan v'hamenoros, and it would mean, in other words, any little bits of bread that remained on the shulchan, and the leftover oil and wicks from the menorah. But Shittu Kubetzes says no, those are burnt in the Beis HaDeshen. So rather, we should stick with the girsa that we have over here, which is that dam v'hashemen and maybe v'hamenoros, v'hanesachim and nesachim, the wine, as we just said, v'shenitmu that became tamei, oisel and marocha b'fnei atzman, you make a wood pile for them alone, but so fun and you burn them. So that is indeed how you do. Amalei Shmuel of Chana Bagadta. So Shmuel says one time, sort of Chana Bagadta. Bagadta means either he means from Baghdad, or it means that he was a Baal Agadta. He was an expert in Agadta. Anyway, Shmuel tells him, I see the Be'asara, bring me ten people, the Emalach Kamayu, and I want to tell you the following din in front of them, that everybody should, that it should be clearly established, and everybody should know that this is the Aloha. Nesachim shenitmu, that when the Nesachim become Tomei, Oysalam Marocha b'fnei atzman, you do make a separate pile for them, v'sofon, and you burn them, so I want this halacha to be publicized, says Shmuel, so I want it to be said in front of 10 people. Mind you, Shmuel and Rav Chana are living quite some time after the Korban, but as we know, When we learn the halachas of korbanos, it's considered like doing them, and therefore Shmuel considered it important to publicize this halacha. The next perek, the 11th perek of our Masechta, is going to deal with three dinim that are discussed back to back in the pasuk. So we'll list them in the order that they are in the pasuk. But the Mishnah is going to discuss them out of order. The first case, first of all, the Torah says, anything that touches the meat of a korban becomes holy. What that means is basically that if other food touches a korban and absorbs some of it, then that other food now has the kedusha of the korban. So that's one. Number two, then the Torah tells us, v'asher yiza midama al abeged, if the blood splashes on clothing, then that clothing has to be washed by Mokum Kodesh in the holy place in the Azara. We're going to learn beginning in our Mishnah that even though the Pasuk doesn't specify whether it's talking about a chatas or all korbanos, but previously the Torah had been talking about a chatas. Zos Torah for chatas, and therefore this applies only to a chatas. So only a chatas, if the blood splashes on clothing, you have to wash it in the Azara. And we'll see in the Gemara what type of chatas. Then you have a third din, the Torah goes on to say, that uchli cheres, which we touched on before, uchli cheres asher kedusha b'yishaver, an earthenware pot in which a korban was cooked has to be broken because it absorbed from the korban, and then you can't kasher it, and therefore eventually those molecules are going to become noiser. The imbechli nechoshes bushala, if it was cooked in a metal pot, in a copper pot, or moirak v'shutach amoyim, that pot has to be cleansed and scoured out. So now we're going to deal later in the perek. Does that apply only to chatas, or does it apply to other korbanos? But these three dinim we're going to be discussing in the course of our perek. We're going to do them out of order. First, the Mishnah is going to deal with the case of the blood splashing. Then later on in the perek, we're going to deal with the matter of kashering the kalim and breaking the klei cheres and other food touching it and absorbing from it. So the Mishnah starts off, Dam chatas shenitas al abeged, if the blood of a chatas squirts or splashes onto clothing, how is it tone kibbutz, then that clothing has to be washed in the Azara. Now, even though on the surface the pasuk is talking about only chatois that are eaten, because the previous pasuk says that it should be eaten in the holy place. So then in that case, maybe it shouldn't apply to Chatzaris HaPnimius. Nevertheless, the fact is, Echad HaNecholos V'Echad HaPnimius Tu'unis Kibbutz. Nevertheless, whether a Chatzas is eaten, or whether its blood is supposed to be brought into the Heichel, and then it never gets eaten, it gets burnt outside Yerushalayim, nevertheless, if the blood of it splashes on clothing, Tu'unis Kibbutz, then it still requires to be washed. Shenema Torah Sachatzas, because the Pasuk says, Zos Torah Sachatzas, this is the Torah of the Chatzas, from which we learn Torah Achas, L'chol HaChatzaris, there is one Torah, one uniform rule for all chatas. Continues the Mishnah. Chatas psula en domaton kibus. On the other hand, if chatas is possible, then the blood does not have to be washed in the Azara, and that would apply ben shahosel or shasa kosher, or ben shahosel or shasa kosher. That would apply whether the korban ever had a time when it was kosher, and then became that blood could have been sprinkled, or whether it never reached that point and it never had a shasa kosher for sprinkling. Either way, if the korban is possible, then the blood, if it gets on clothing, does not have to be washed. What are examples of hoysel or shasa kosher where it had a time when it was kosher to sprinkle? For example, shalona, if the blood was left overnight, and as we learned earlier in our Masechta, it becomes posel at shkia. And the shenitma, or if the blood became tomei, the shiyotzas, or if it was taken out of the azara, and we've learned before that if the blood is taken out of the azara, it becomes posel. Tosfos wonders, actually, that we've learned before that if the blood becomes tamei, if they sprinkle it on the mizbeach, the shogeg, then it is, and the korban is acceptable with the yevon. So that being the case, why should we say that if the blood became tamei and it's got on clothing, we shouldn't have to wash it? That blood conceivably could have been sprinkled. And the answer is Tosfos says because that concept works only if it sits. Is that concept works? Why does the blood become acceptable when it was tamei? Is because of the tzitz. You have machloikas in a number of places in Shas. When is the tzitz effective? Only when the kohen gadol is wearing it, or even if he's not wearing it, but it has to at least be intact. So we could be talking about over here where the blood became tamei, but according to the opinions that the tzitz has to be on the kohen gadol, on the kohen gadol's forehead. Right now it's not, and according to the opinion that. If the tzitz has to exist, we could be talking about that right now. It doesn't exist because it was broken. So then that blood that became tamei is in fact not kosher to go on the mizbeach, and therefore we can say that in that case, if that blood gets on clothing, then you don't have to wash it. Because lo hoisel shasa kosher, because it didn't have a time when it was kosher to sprinkle on the mizbeach. The ezri shahois, so that's shahois al shasa kosher. The ezri shalohois al shasa kosher. What are examples of where blood never had shasa kosher, never had a suitable time to sprinkle on the mizbeach? For example, shenishcha to chutz mana b'chutz l'mekayma. If it was shechted with a thought of chutz mana, which makes it pigul, or chutz l'mekayma, which makes it posel, v'shekibul psulim v'zorku v'sdama, or psulim received the blood or sprinkled it. Now Rashi takes out the word v'zorku because the fact is. We're going to learn later on in the parak that if the blood was already sprinkled on the mizbeach and then some of it ended up on clothing from the corner of the mizbeach where it was sprinkled, then you don't have to wash it. The din about washing it applies strictly before the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach. So what's the word v'zorku doing over here? If the zor sprinkled the blood, then anyway it doesn't matter who sprinkled the blood. If a kosher kohen sprinkled it, then also this din wouldn't apply. Tosfos brings a different girsa from Rashi that we do have the word rezoku, but it means oizoku. It means if the kosher received the blood or if a posel received the blood where they're ready, the blood is posel, never had chasa kosher, or if the kosher received the blood and then the tummy sprinkled it. And the point would be then that we wouldn't say that the leftover blood is kosher for zika. We would say posel oisa shirai in the chiddush is, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that a posel that someone who's posel who does the zika makes it, but now the rest of the blood is considered shirai, is considered leftover, and you can't do zika with it anymore. So the chiddush would be not so much about the blood that he already sprinkled, that's already on the mizbeach, as Rashi had pointed out, but it means that even the other blood in the mizrak, it never had shasa kosher to be sprinkled, and therefore it's not. And therefore, if it gets on clothing, then you don't have to wash it in the Azara. So that's another way of understanding the word bezoku over here. So either way, again, whether it had shasa kosher, whether it didn't have shasa kosher, nevertheless, still, if it gets on clothing, only blood that was kosher to sprinkle on the mizbeach has this din that it has to be, washed in the azara. And the Shifra Mekubetzis points out another possibility as well, that it is vizorku that the apostle did do the Kabbalah and do the Zrika. And then the point is that in that case, again, there's no shasa kosher because to begin with it was received in a way that's possible, and there's no way to make the rest of the blood kosher because he already sprinkled it on the mizbeach, and Tosfos says that he made the rest of it shirayim. So the Gemara starts off. Dam chatas shemesa chol, or shemesa is a mistake. It says on the side it's supposed to be shenitas. What happened was apparently that in a manuscript they had the nun and the yud were close together, so somebody misread it as a mech. So dam chatas shenitas chol. So we're saying that the Mishnah had said that it applies even to a chatas apnimis, even though it's not eaten. Because it says Torah sahatas. So the Gemara says, the eat Torah achas l'chol chatois. If you're going to tell me that we're darshaning from that word, Torah sahatas, that it means that all chatois have the same Torah, then afilu chatas ha'oif nami. Then the same din should apply even to a chatas ha'oif, even to a birdhouse. Then if the blood gets on clothing, then the clothing should have to be washed in the Azara. Alom atanya, well, why do we learn in a braisa that it's not so? Yochol yehedam chatas ha'oif ton kibbles. You would think that the blood of a chatas ha'oif has to be washed in the Azara. Talmud loyma. No, therefore the pasuk says zois. It says zois toras achatas, and the word zois is a miut, so it excludes a bird. So why is tora achas? Then it means, and then why are we doing a miut? The answer is omer shlokish mishum bakapara omakra. Yes, but the pasuk. The pasuk says. The pasuk says Zos Teres Achatas Ki Shochet. The pasuk says where the Oyla is shechted Ki Shochet Achatas and the Chatas should be shechted. So we learn from the word Ki Shochet Vinishchotas Akasim Adamber. So the pasuk is talking specifically about korbanos that are being shechted. A bird is not shechted. A bird you do malicha. Therefore the pasuk is implying that that's not included in the category of this deed. The Shittim Kovetzet brings from the Sarmi Kutzi, one of the Bali Atosfas, that the question is, why Dafka are we using Zois to exclude Chatos Oif? Why not use it to exclude Chatos Apnimius? And the answer is because Chatos Apnimius at least are shechting. Then Shittim Kovetzet goes on to bring from Rabbeinu Peretz another point that Rish Lakish holds that, you have Tishochet. On the other hand, you have Teochel, which means that it should be eaten, which on the face of it should exclude Chatos Apnimius. Because he says the word te'ochel is not in connection with the washing, whereas the word tishochet is more in connection with the washing. So therefore, more logical to say that the word tishochet is excluding that whatever is not shechted, then the din of washing the blood doesn't apply, as opposed to te'ochel is a different din. So that's what Rish Lakish is answering. That the pasuk is talking about dafka ones that are shechted. So the question is, still, why? Maybe the pasuk is telling us with the word zois that it means that it applies specifically to korbanos that are eaten, so that it would include the chatos oif, because the kohenim do eat that, but it would exclude the chatos apnimius, because the kohenim don't eat them. As the pasuk says, it shall be eaten in the holy place. Avo pnimius loy, but maybe not the chatos apnimius. And the answer is no. Rabbi Rachmana Toras. No, because we have the ribui from the word Toras, and that comes to include them. Well, then we should include chatos oif. And the answer is miyuk Rachmana zois. No, but you have the miyuk from the word zois. Umar Ravisa, what makes you see that it should be that way? If we have a ribui and we have a miyuk, what makes you include chatos apnimius and exclude chatos oif rather than the other way around? The answer is mistabrim chatos behema pnimius havalei l'rabuyei. It's more logical to include chatos apnimius and say that they have this din of washing off the blood shekein behema, because they have a lot of things in common. Both of them are behema. Goes about adds the word kemosa, just like a chatos chitzona and a chatos pnimius both have this in common. They're both animals. Shchitas tzofen, both of them have to be shechted. And goes back again, changes the gears a little bit. Or shchita kamosa, the shechting has to be just like it. And shchitas tzofen, they both have to be shechted in the north, as opposed to a bird, as we've learned earlier, the malika can be done anywhere. The kabbalas kli, the blood has to be received in a keli, as opposed to with a bird. As we said, the blood is squeezed out or squirted directly onto the mizbeach. The keren, it has to be done on the corners of the mizbeach, both chatoris pnimius and chatoris hachatzonius. The blood is applied to the corners of the mizbeach, different corners, because the mizbeach achitzon in the case of chatoris chatzonius and the mizbeach apnimi in the case of chatoris apnimius, but still it's both applications to corners. The etzva, both of them have to be done with the finger. The chuda, they both have to be done on the edge of the corner. So the ishim and all of them have parts that are burnt on the mizbeach. The chatos, both the chatos pnimius and the chatzonius, the imurim are burnt on the mizbeach. The difference is the chatos achitzona. The kohenim eat afterwards the rest of it, and the chatos and the chatos pnimius, the rest of it is taken outside the city and burnt. But nevertheless, it's still they still both have parts burnt on the mizbeach, as opposed to a chatos ha'oif does not, because as we learned earlier in the Masechta, the chatos ha'oif, only the blood goes on a mizbeach, no actual part of its limbs or organs do. So the point is, we have a lot of similarities between chatos pnimius and chatos chitzona, and therefore that makes it logical to say that they should be in the same category. So the Gemara says, Adrab chatos ha'oif havelei l'raboyei. On the contrary, you should argue that we should include chatos ha'oif. Shekein chutz kemoisa v'achila kemoisa, because both of them are brought on the outer mizbeach, as opposed to the chatos apnimi, which is on the inner mizbeach. V'achila kemoisa, chutz kemoisa, v'achila kemoisa, and both of them are eaten, as opposed to the chatos apnimi, so not eaten. So why don't we say that way? And the answer is hanach nefishon. That's true. But you have more similarities between the chatos chitzona and the Chatzis Pnimis, that whole catalog of similarities that we just said, as compared to the Chatzis Oif, where you have only two similarities, and therefore, if we're going to have a miut in the Torah of the word Zois and a ribui of the word Chatzis, we're more logically going to apply the ribui to the Chatzis Pnimis and the miut to the Chatzis Oif. So that's one answer. Rabbi Yosef gives a different answer. The pasuk says he shall eat it. That means lazuva la'achers. That means that it means you should eat it as opposed to something else. So the nacholas miyatakosim, meaning that within the korbanos that are being eaten, the Torah is excluding something. So in other words, chatoris chatzonius, that pasuk is not even talking about. But within the Chatoris HaChatzonius, you have Chatzis Behema and you have Chatzis Ha'oif. So we see that everything that's talking about over there does not apply to Chatzis Ha'oif, only to Chatzis Behema. In other words, we're saying like this, you have, it does apply to the Chatoris HaPnimius as well, but then within the Chatoris HaChatzonius, within the Chatoris that are eaten, we're saying Yechlen No, only one kind that's eaten that has these didn't apply to it, namely Chatzis Behema and not Chatzis Oif. So that's another way of learning, says Rabbi Yosef. So the question is, Ve'ela Zois Lamali. Well, then, according to that, why do we need the word Zois? And the answer is, Ilav Zois, have amin, Yechlena, Ucha Dekra. Because without the word Zois, you would say Yechlena as a normal way for the Pasuk to phrase it. The earlier parts of the Pasuk also are phrasing in the singular, the whole thing. It's Yishoch et Achatas, Kerla Sheyigab of Sora, Vashi Yuzamidoma, all in the singular. So therefore, you would say Yechlena is also in the singular, and there's no special Russia. But now that you have the word Zois and that puts you on the alert, there is something to be memayit, then we understand that the word Yechlena excludes the Chatzis Oif. Okay. Another answer, Rabba Omar. Rabba says another reason why we exclude Chatzis Oif. Omar Kra, actually Yizeh. The Pasuk says that there is sprinkled, literally Yizeh, literally means squirted, but literally means sprinkled, like from the same Shodesh as Hazar. So, the pasuk is referring to korbanos where the blood is to be sprinkled, namely that applies to a chatas. So in other words, the pasuk is mainly talking about chatoris apnimius, because chatoris apnimius, the blood is actually sprinkled. The ones of Yom Kippur, they're sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Kodesh, the Pyre of Asur, the Pyre of Helam Davashot Sibur, and Siri Abedus Tosavim, and the Pyre of Kohen Gadol, the blood is sprinkled in front of the Parochas, so there's actually sprinkling that takes place. As opposed to with a chatas chitzona, there's no sprinkling, the Kohen daubs the blood with his finger on the corners. So fine, those were including from the word Torah, says Rabba. But the fact that Chatoris HaPnimius should be included, we're learning from Asher Yizeh, that's a korban where the blood is sprinkled, which applies only to Chatoris HaPnimius. So in other words, according to him, the flow of it is from the word Asher Yizeh, we're learning Chatoris HaPnimius. From the word Torah, we're learning also Chatoris Chatzonius. And then from the word Zois, we're learning not Brit. So the Gemara says Vatanya, or Vatnan, really, it's a Mishnah, that our Mishnah had said, the context of the pasuk is talking only about chatoris that are eaten. Nevertheless, when it says todas, that it includes the ones that are not eaten. According to Rabba, it should be the other way around. According to Rabba, primarily it's talking about the ones that are not eaten, and then we're including the ones that are eaten from the word todas. So he must have the inyan miriko shtifa. The Mishnah means, as far as the din of miriko shtifa, this din of scouring out and washing out and cleaning out a pot in which the korban is cooked, which that's relevant only to Chatzoris HaChatzonia, because Chatzoris HaPnimius are not eaten, so therefore they're not cooked. Avala inyan kibus, but when it comes to washing the blood, Asher Yizeh k'siv, after all, the pasuk says Asher Yizeh, that is sprinkled, and therefore Rabba can say that the pasuk is primarily referring to Chatzoris that are sprinkled, namely Chatzoris HaPnimius. So the question is, Yifachdi, fine, but if that's the case, then when the Mishnah says Echad HaNecholos v'Echad HaPnimius, this applies whether to korbanos that are eaten, or the ones where the blood is brought into the Hechel. In that case, according to him, Echad HaPnimius v'Echad HaNecholos v'Boilei should phrase it the other way around. It includes the Pnimius as well as the Necholos, because according to him, the Pasuk is mainly talking about the Chatoris HaPnimius. So fine, Tony, Echad HaPnimius v'Echad HaNecholos, fine, Rabba can fix up the Mishnah that way and say that the Mishnah means mainly the Pnimius and also the Ne'acholos, because in fact, according to him, the Pnimius are in fact the main thing, and the Pasuk is primarily referring to them. Tosfos points out, in other words, the Gemara is assuming that it should mention the one that's more posher at first, and Tosfos discusses this in light of various Gemaras, where many times it does do that. It does mention the more obvious thing first, but sometimes it mentions the less obvious one. Sometimes there are ones that are less obvious first. So one difference is that Tosfos says it will depend. Is it basing itself on a pasuk as it is here, or is it that there was a machlokas before and therefore it wants to mention the more obvious one first, and then Tosfos goes on to mention other possibilities. So according to Rabbah, he's not bothered by the Mishnah, because fine, even though it says Pnimius, and then even though it says Echad HaNecholos V'Echad HaPnimius, there's no problem to understand the Mishnah the other way around, that it means that primarily it's talking about the Pnimius, but the Necholos are included as well. So the question is, Yehochi Chatas Oif Nami, well then according to Rabbah, the Chatas Oif should be included as well, because they are also, the blood is squirted onto them as bad. So it's not even a question of including it from the word Todas. It's a question, if you're telling me, the Torah is telling us, Asher Yizeh, that it means any time that the blood is sprinkled or squirted, well, then that's exactly what happens with a bird. And in that case, then it should be included in this deal. And the question is, Miyat Rahman Zois. Okay, then that would be from the word Zois, and therefore Rabbah agrees that it wouldn't be included. So the question is, Yehochi Chitzonim Nami Loi, then in that case, if Zois is a meal, then you shouldn't even include Chatas. And the answer is Ribu Rachmana Toras. Again, you have the Ribu from the word Toras, and therefore it means we have to include something. So again, Umari, so what makes you see it that way, to include the Chakas Chatzona? Again, according to the other Amiroyan, it was the other way around. How do we know to include the Pnimis? According to Rabbah, who says the Pasuk is mainly talking about a Pnimis, then the question is, how do we know to include the Chatzona and then to exclude the Chakas Oiv? And the answer is, like we said before, Mistabra Chatas Behema, Havalei L'Rabuye, it's more logical to include Chatas Behema, a Chatas Chatzona, Shekein Behema, because both of them have in common that they're animals, or Shechitas Tzofen, both of them are shechted in the north, on the north of the Azara, the Kabbalah Kli, both of them, the blood has to be received in a Kli, the Keren, both of them have to be placed on corners of the Mizbeach, the Etzba, with the finger, the Chuda, on the actual edge of the corner, the Ishim, and both of them have things that are burnt on the Mizbeach. So therefore, again, you have that, all those similarities, and therefore, as opposed to a burning. So the question is, again, same question as the one I asked before, we should include Chatas Oif on the contrary, Shekein Hazar Kamosa, because the blood is squirted onto the Mizbeach, just like a Chatas HaPnimius. Fine. Before, at the top of the Amud, we had said there was another similarity, Achila Kamosa. Now, in Rabbah's explanation, we can't say that, because the whole point is Chatas HaOif is eaten, and Chatas HaPnimius are not. But at least you have in common that both of them involve squirting the blood. In the case of the Chatas HaPnimius, by dipping his finger and then flicking his finger, and in the case of the Chatas HaOif, by squeezing out the body of the bird and squeezing out the blood and then squirting out the blood to the Mizbeach. So therefore, so you have a similarity. And again, the answer is Hanach Nefishin. Okay. Again, the answer is you have a lot more similarity between a Chatas Pnimius and Tzatzona than you do between a bird and Chatas Pnimius, and therefore it's more logical to say that that if the pasuk is saying Zois, that it comes to exclude the least similar thing, which is the bird.
No, yes,
she. Fine. Okay, so now the Gemara says Boyer of Ovid. So now the Gemara has a couple of questions on the subject of blood of Korbanos. Boyer of Ovid. Chatas Oif Sheichnes Doma B'Tzavara B'Fnim. Now we learned before that if you take the blood of a Chatas Chatzona into the Heichel, then that Chatas becomes Kossel, and now that Chatas has to be burnt and can't be eaten. What happens? Asked Reb Ovid, if you took a Chatas Oif and took the blood in the neck and brought it into the Heichel. Mahu, what would be the deal? Is it still kosher to take out and put on the Mizbeach or not? The question is, Savara ka Kli Shardis Dami Umifsil, would we say the neck of the bird is considered like a Kli Shardis? Because after all, the blood is supposed to go from the neck onto the Mizbeach. So in that sense, the neck is functioning as a Kli Shardis. So maybe that's reason enough to make it possible, a Dova Kasava Behema, or maybe it's the equivalent of the neck of the animal, and if you bring in the blood, if you bring in the neck of the animal with the blood in it into the heichel, then it's not a problem. Midama Amar Rahman of Olam Yibisara. Torah says that it's only when you bring the blood in does the carbon become possible, not if you bring the flesh in with the meat in it. So then the flesh with the blood in it. So now the question would be, in which category do we put a bird? So the Gemara says Toshma, let's bring a proof. A bride says Pirkusa the Nichna Salafnim Bachazra. Suppose that a chatas if you did malika, and then the animal and then the bird convulsively moved, as it sometimes does after shchita, and it moved into the heichel, and then you took it out of there, and then it went back out into the Azarak Shera. Then it's kosher. Now that's because Pirkusa the Nichnasa, that's because it convulsively jerked and ended up inside the heichel. Like the way when they do kaporis, for example, where the birds flop around, so he would flop around and wound up in the heichel. But that seems to be implied that if he actually took it in deliberately, then it would be possible. So that would be the answer. But the Gemara says, not necessarily, according to your svara, that you're saying the case is it went out by itself. What about when it comes to kodshe kodshim, where the same braisa continues, the katani, if the animal was shechted near the midline of the Azara, on the north side, but right near the midline, and then it was mefaukis, and then it again convulsively jerked the Yotzal Adarim and went to the south, the Chazra, and then it returned to the north, Sheda, then it's kosher, it's not considered that it was Yotze, it's not considered that it went out of the zone where, it's not considered that it went out of the zone where it was supposed to be, because it's all inside the Azara. Really, actually, it doesn't even need to be Chosra necessarily. Rashi points out that because it said Chosra by the bird, then therefore it uses Chosra over here by the animal. Anyway, Ksheira, so it's caution. So what are you going to say? Are you going to infer from that that it means that if he deliberately took the animal after shechting it from the Tzofen to the Darim, then it would be possible? It's not so. There's nothing to pass on it. Rather, the Braisa needs to talk about the Braisa mainly wants to focus on the point where it went outside. The Braisa mainly wants to focus on another case, which is where it went outside the Azara, where then it will in fact be possible. As long as the animal stays within the Azara, we don't care once it was shechted, if it remains in the north or the south, but if it goes out of the Azara, it will be possible. The same way, the Braisa wants to highlight where the bird went out of the heichel, and therefore it also mentions Nichnas Alefnim, but maybe in fact if he took it in, then it would not be possible, so we don't have an answer, to Rav Oven's question. Maybe it would be possible, maybe not. And in fact, the Rambam passes it as a suffix. As usual, in a suffix of such cases, the usual rule with such sakas is that you should not offer it, but b'dieved if you did, then the korban is kosher because we don't have a basis for saying it's possible and you don't want to bring chul in lahazara. So that's how it is then. So you shouldn't bring it in lachatchila over there, but if you did. So in the case of the animal, we're saying that it doesn't become possible at all. In the case of the animal, it would only have to be brought in a keli. But if it was a bird, then we're saying it's a suffering. Next. So here's another question. The Gemara says, Boyer of Oven. Rav Oven has another question on the subject of the blood of Korbanos. Now Rashi explains that this second question, so let's learn the question first, and then we'll talk about the relevance of it over here. Boy above it. Nishbach ala ritzba, nishbach dam ala ritzba, blood, the chatas oif, nishbach dam ala ritzba, Shitim Kubetsa says, is the correct Yosef. A chatas oif, the blood spilled on the floor, the osfa, and he collected it from the floor, mahu won't be the din. Now earlier in our Masechta, we learned that if the blood goes directly from the animal's neck onto the floor, then it's possible. It has to be caught in a klishois. The question is, when it comes to a bird, is it different? Is it that the Torah didn't require a kli shardis for a bird? So therefore, no problem. You can collect it. It didn't have to be caught in a basin in the first place. But now, when it wasn't caught in a basin, it went directly onto the floor, then it would also be kosher to stop it up from the floor and put it on the mizbeach. Oduma, so therefore with Hilkach, Oyster, the Kosher, therefore you should collect it, and it is Kosher. Oduma, Mifsal, Kosher, Berachmana, Klisharis, maybe on the contrary, the Torah is specifically saying that a Klisharis, that if blood of a Chatasa'if was received in a Klisharis, then it's possible, and all the more so than we would say if it didn't land on, if it didn't go into a Keli, if it landed on the floor. And then in that case, Hilkach, Oyster, possible. So now, if he would collect it, it would be possible. So Rashi points out that this question kind of has to do with the previous one. Before we were saying that before we were asking if you bring the brood into the hayfel, is it considered like bringing the blood in a klei sharis or not? So now the question is the neck of the brood in fact considered like a klei sharis? So is it that the Torah is saying you have to sprinkle the blood, you have to scoot the blood from the body itself, and therefore the neck of the brood functions as a keli? So in that case, if you receive it in a klei sharis, then it also might be fine. The Torah is not insisting that you use a klei sharis, but it's not saying that it's possible if you do. Or is it that specifically you have to do it from the neck, and it would actually be passed by a klei sharis? So that's the question. Omer Rava Toshma. So Rava says, I'll bring you a proof. A Braisa says, Yocho Yedam Chafas Oif Tone Tibbles. You would think that the blood of a Chafas Oif has to be washed in the Azara, as we discussed before. Hamalava Zois, and we said before, the Braisa said, that it says Zois, and then we said, and we learned why that's Mamayat a bird. Now, Bezakhadach, Mifsa Possel Be Rachmana. If you're going to tell me the Torah tells us that it's possible to use a Klisharis for a bird, then. Well, then in that case, then that would equally well apply, all the more so it would apply to a beged, to a piece of clothing. So in that case, then, typically, so in that case, you'd have another reason why you wouldn't have to wash in the Azara, because it becomes possible as soon as it comes into the airspace of the beged. As we've learned in the Mishnah, only blood that's kosher for sprinkling on the Mizbeach requires kibbutz. Well, if you're going to tell me that the blood of the bird is possible when it comes into a klei sharis, it would also be possible when it comes into a beged. Automatically, then it becomes possible. So the whole concept of washing it in the Azara anyway wouldn't apply. Why do you need the word zois to be immune? That implies that you could put the blood of a chatas oif in a keli if you wanted to. You're just not required to. And therefore, it doesn't become possible by being put in a keli. And therefore, it doesn't become possible by ending up on the clothing. And therefore, you would have thought you have to wash in the azara. And we're saying that, no, we have the word zois that tells us that not. But the Gemara says, not necessarily. Because you could be talking about where the piece of clothing, or in this case, we're talking about clothing, we're using the word keli to mean clothing, was stuck directly to the neck. So now, there was no airspace over there. Before it had a chance to be in the airspace of the clothing, above the clothing, and to become possible, it touched the actual clothing. So therefore, So we can't say that maybe it's possible for sprinkling, therefore we need the word zois to tell us that nevertheless you don't have to wash it in the azara. But not necessarily in a case where the beggin was some distance away from the where the blood was some distance away from the neck. And then it went on clothing. Maybe indeed that would be possible anyway, and you don't even need the pasuk to be memayit that it wouldn't work. Another question: Bo Mine Levi. Levi asks a question. Now it doesn't say who he asked, but on the side over here it says that it's supposed to be Merevi. We often find that Levi asks Merevi, and in fact a number of the Shitim Kabetzes and Yaakov Emden say that it is supposed to be Merevi. So Levi asks Rebbe the following question: Nitas mi beged le beged mapu. What happens if the blood squirted onto one piece of clothing and then from there onto another piece of clothing? So as far as Reb Oven's second question, again we don't really have an answer. If the blood spilled on the floor, then of the bird, then also we have a suffix whether it's kosher or not. Do we say that the blood of a bird becomes possible when it's placed in a keli, or do we say it just doesn't need a keli? We can't be sure. So again we're left with a suffix of what happens in that case. So Levi asks Rebbe, what happens if it's blood squirted onto one piece of clothing and then from there it's squirted onto another one? What happens to the second piece? Does it also have to be washed in the azara? Do we say mibeged kama idchi lekibus? Do we say that once it got on the first piece of clothing. Then it has to be, it's been pushed away from being put on the Mizbeach. At this point, the only thing you can do with that blood is wash it in the Azara. So therefore, so now you would not need to wash the second one in the Azara. In fact, Rashi says it would be even worse than the case that we asked before about where it fell from the Keli onto the floor and you collected it. Because there, at least, if it landed in a Keli and then it fell on the floor and then you collected it, and we learned earlier in the Masechta that such blood can be of an animal carbon can be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, so therefore it's still roy to go on the Mizbeach. But here, when it goes on the first Deged, then no longer can you do Hazar with it. Now the only thing you can do is Kibbutz. So now maybe when it goes on the second one, then it doesn't need. Or Jomaloy, or maybe we say, maybe it's not completely pushed off. Maybe it's considered like when it's landed from the Keli onto the floor, and then you picked it up off the floor and sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Maybe in the same way. Maybe you could wring it out of the first. Maybe you don't have to have to wash it out of the first clothing. Maybe you could wring it out from the first clothing and sprinkle it on the Mizbeach, and therefore that blood is still considered roy to go on the Mizbeach. Omalei, so Rebbe answers Levi, Zu Sheila. This is a very good question. The answer is Ton Kibbutz Mamonavshan. The answer is that the second Deged will require Kibbutz no matter how you look at it. If you're going to say that, in fact, this blood has not been pushed off, and you could conceivably wring it out of the first Deged, and it would be kosher for sprinkling, well, then obviously, ha-kosher, then it's kosher for sprinkling.
No.
And therefore, it's still roy to go on the Mizbeach, and therefore, if it goes on the second Deged, it will still require kibbutz. And even if you say he oisfa your potel, even if you were to say that, if you were to wring it out of the first one, it would be potel. Nevertheless, says Rebbe, I'm not Rebbe Akiva. Really, I hold like Rebbe Akiva. The Amar Hosel Shasa Kosher the Nifsel Adomaton Kibbutz. He said not like on Mishnah that had said. On Mishnah had said that if the blood that whether the blood had Shasa Kosher or not, as long as right now it's possible to sprinkle on the Mizbeach, then the concept of kibbutz does not apply. As long as it's possible to sprinkle on the Mizbeach, kibbutz does not apply. Rebbe says, I disagree with that. I hold like Rebbe Akiva, who would say that if it had shasa kosher, and then the nifsala, and then it became possible, jama tone kibbutz, and the blood would require kibbutz, well, here it had shasa kosher, because even if you're going to say that now having landed on the second Deged, it's possible, but it had shasa kosher before that, and therefore that would be reason enough to have to wash the second clothing. So yes, you would need to wash it in the Azara either way, says Yen. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with more questions on the subject of blood of Korbanos getting on clothing, and more of the detail of those dinim, when we need to wash that clothing in the Azara, and when not.